This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
All over the world today, Christians have adopted the observance of holidays that are not found in the Bible. Yes, as surprising as that may be, it's true. The early Christians of the first century, even including Jesus, did not observe the holidays most traditional Christians of the 21st century embrace. Holidays like Christmas and Easter, even Good Friday or Halloween, are not mentioned in the Bible. Instead, the holy days mentioned? Well, most of us are simply just not familiar with. What are these holy days those early Christians kept? And are they mentioned in the New Testament? Is it possible to validate them by Scripture, thereby proving they are a required Christian observance? Well, stay with us as we attempt to introduce to you the actual holy days Jesus and the early New Testament church observed.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our family. To help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's programs. Here's what I'm going to talk about today. Should we keep God's holy days or, quote-unquote, Christian holidays? Now, that might sound confusing to some of you because you probably think that Christian holidays are God's holy days. But I'm here to tell you today that that is not the case. There are seven annual holy days mentioned in your Bible that ancient Israel kept, that Jesus Christ kept, that the apostles kept, that will be kept in the future kingdom of God on earth. And they are not Christmas. They are not Easter. They are not the Annunciation of the Virgin. They are not the Dormition of the Virgin. They are not saints' days. But they are God's annual holy days. And I believe we should keep God's annual holy days instead of what are called Christian holidays today. Now, why do I say that? I used to celebrate Christmas and Easter. I loved celebrating Christmas and Easter. But I also believed in the Bible, and I believed it was the Word of God. So I want to follow what God wants me to do rather than what man wants me to do. And there is even a scripture in the New Testament that says, we make vain the commandments of God by following man's traditions. And what we've done with Christmas and Easter is we've added pagan traditions to the worship of Jesus Christ's birth and Jesus Christ's resurrection. Now, I know many of you who celebrate Christmas and Easter are looking at me askance right now, but please take 30 minutes, listen to what I have to say today, and then make a decision about what you're going to do, whether you're going to observe God's annual holy days or Christmas, Easter, and many other holidays that Christians keep today. Now, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to look at those annual holy days and give you a brief overview of them. There's a lot of symbolism, a lot of meaning and richness within all of them that I can't get to today, but I will give you an overview. Then what we will do is we will see that Jesus Christ kept those same holy days. We will see that the apostles, after Christ's death, after he had been dead and buried and resurrected and gone, did not change. They continued to observe those days. And we will see that in the future kingdom of God on earth, God will demand that mankind celebrates the holy days that I will be describing to you today. Now, before we get to all of that, What I want to do is offer you some supplemental material on today's program. What we're going to do is we're going to offer you some literature, and the literature we'd like to offer you is Fall Holy Days. We also want to offer you a full-length sermon CD titled Overview of the Holy Days by Mr. Vance Stinson. These items will supplement some of the material that you will be hearing on today's program. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by going to our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Thanks again for joining us on today's program. We're looking at God's annual holy days versus the idea of celebrating holidays today like Christmas and Easter. Now, let me tell you a quick story about myself. I used to celebrate Christmas and Easter, and I loved to celebrate them. But I came to learn, first through an article, about the subject of Lent. Now, I used to believe that we celebrated Lent, which was a 40-day fast period prior to Easter. I thought we celebrated because in the Bible, Jesus fasts for 40 days before he has an encounter with Satan. But what I learned in this article was that that encounter with Satan had nothing to do with Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus was just fasting because he was about to come into contact with Satan and he wanted to prepare himself spiritually. I also learned about Lent that it predated Christianity, that there were pagan religions in the past that used to observe a fast period up until the celebration of a resurrection of a god in the spring of a year, the year. Now, when I learned that, I started to scratch my head and read the Bible and come to find out that there were holy days that God had established, that Israel kept, that Jesus kept, that the apostles and New Testament church kept, and that will be kept in the future kingdom of God on earth that I wasn't even aware of. So I want to make you aware of those holy days today, and hopefully you will have a different idea about this topic as we go through this. Now, you will find these holy days mentioned in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 23. And some will argue that these are the holy days of the Jews. These are the holy days of Israel. But let's read what the Bible actually says about these days. And ask yourself, if they're just the holy days of Israel, why does God have everybody keeping these days in the future kingdom of God on earth, even a nation like Egypt? Let's read Leviticus 23 and verse 1. Notice what it says. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, get this, these are my feasts. Let me repeat it. These are my feasts. These aren't the feasts of Israel. Israel is told to keep those feasts because God is beginning to work with this one nation, Israel, at this time in history. And as time goes on, God begins to work with the Gentiles when Christ comes to this earth. And God will begin to work with all peoples when he has his millennial reign on this earth. So if you're a Gentile or a Jew or an Israelite, you'll want to be keeping God's holy days now. Now, notice what the first holy day is. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest a holy convocation. And you'll see that language throughout this chapter. Holy convocation means the community came together to worship God on that day. Solemn rest means this was a rest day. They didn't do their regular work on that day. And that is what makes these seven annual holy days and the weekly Sabbath different from any other days of the year. Now, check this out. We're going to move on. And just let me mention with the Sabbath day, the point behind the Sabbath is it is a memorial of God's consummation of creation because He rested on that Sabbath and He wanted to memorialize that. He wanted to give people rest on that particular day. And there's a lot of other symbolism associated with that day. I'm only giving you an overview today, so let me move on to the next holy days, which are the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Notice what it says in verse 4, Leviticus 23. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocation. See that language again? Which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Verse 7, on the first day you'll have a holy convocation, do no customary work. And then in verse 8, on the seventh day you'll have a holy convocation and do no customary work. So when we get to the Festival of Unleavened Bread, the first and the last days are days where no work is to be done. They are the first two of these seven annual Sabbaths. They represent, when you look at this, Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. The fact that He was that Passover lamb, we ingest this unleavened bread during that period as if we are living our life through Jesus Christ's shed blood and what He was all about, which is confirmed in the New Testament with the symbols that are mentioned there. But let's move on now to the next annual holy day, and I'm going to go to verse 15 of Leviticus chapter 23. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheave of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Now, this holy day is a little different. What happens is we count from the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread, 7 Sabbaths, and then the next day becomes what we call the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost. And in verse 21, it mentions this day. It says in Leviticus 23:21, and you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. Now, what was the symbolism behind this day? If you remember in Acts chapter 2, they came together on the Feast of Pentecost. Why? Because it was an annual holy day. And they were observing what God told them to do. And it is the beginning of the New Testament church when we look at the New Testament symbols. But there are Old Testament symbols for this day that are chock full of pieces of God's plan that are important for us to remember. And that's another reason I observe these days rather than days like Christmas and Easter. The symbolism around Christmas and Easter dates back to antiquity, dates back to paganism. The symbolism around God's holy days dates to actual events that occurred in the history of God working with man. Events that have already transpired and events that will occur in the future. That is another reason to keep these days instead of the man-made holidays that many Christians are keeping today. But let me go on to the Feast of Trumpets. This is found in Leviticus 23, and I'll begin reading in verse 24. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. There it is again. This is another of those seven annual holy days. And what is this day symbolizing? Well, the blowing of trumpets, we can read about that in the book of Revelation. What does that blowing of trumpets lead to? It leads to the second coming of Jesus Christ on this earth. What you find in the Old Testament is when a new king was enthroned, the trumpets were blown. when a general or a king went into battle. The trumpets were blown. What occurs at Christ's second coming? Revelation says the trumpets are blown and the King of Kings comes back to this earth to take it over in a military fashion. He has to defeat a force on this earth before he can reign and rule. The symbolism is amazing when you begin to study these holy days. Moving on to the Day of Atonement, which is the fifth annual holy day. This is mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23, and let me pick it up in verse 27. Also, the 10th day of this seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls, that means to fast, and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, and you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement. Now, there were symbols relating to this in the Old Testament, and there are New Testament symbols relating to these days. And when we think of the Day of Atonement, it follows chronologically the Feast of Trumpets, Christ's second coming. What occurs after that? We become at one with God. We were resurrected. We come meet the Lord in the air, come back to this earth, and we become at one with Him because we are now spiritual beings similar to Him, and we begin to reign and rule with Him. That's the true at-one-ment with Jesus Christ. There's much more symbolism involved, but I don't have time to get to that all today. Let me move on to the next holy day, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 34 of Leviticus 23. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For 7 days you shall offer an offering. And then reading down in verse 37, verse 36. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire. The first and the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the last day we call the last great day, are also the final two annual holy days. That makes 7 annual holy days. The weekly Sabbath is also a weekly holy day. And these are the holy days that God has established that He wants mankind to observe, not just Israel. Because remember, He wanted physical Israel to observe this at this time. But remember what the New Testament says. When you become a Christian, you become part of spiritual Israel. And the early New Testament church continued to observe these days because they understood that truth and they understood the great symbolism and meaning behind these days, which lays out the plan of God for mankind. When you keep Christmas, when you keep Easter, you lose sight of what these holy days are all about. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to masquerade as an angel of light. He wants to lead you away from God. He doesn't want you to have a knowledge of God's true holy days, because with that knowledge, you then understand the plan of God, the hope for mankind, that we can have salvation and we can be part of this kingdom on earth that will be coming. But focusing on Christmas and Easter and the accoutrements around those days, the rabbits, the eggs, the tree, the Yuletide log, the presents, all of that takes the focus away from the true God and what He's doing, which is explained through the symbolism of His holy days. Now, let me get to a couple other reasons why I don't observe Christian holidays of Christmas and Easter anymore. In Deuteronomy 12, verses 30 and 31, notice what it says here. I'll pick it up in verse 29 of Deuteronomy 12. Speaking to Israel, he says, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you're not to be ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it. What we do with Christmas and Easter is we add to the worship of the true God. We decide for ourselves what is good in worshiping God. God says, you don't decide. I decide what is good. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the scripture says. He hasn't changed his mind about what he's telling Israel here. He hasn't changed it for society today. He still wants us to observe what he says to observe my feasts, as he calls it in Leviticus 23. So that is one good reason why I do not keep Christmas and Easter, because what we're doing there is we're mixing. There's a syncretism, which is a fancy word for the mixing of religions, the mixing of pagan symbols with Christian symbols. God says, don't do that. Now, he says, because they even burn their sons and daughters. I know we don't do that at Christmas and Easter, but notice what he says right before it. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods. Then he mentions also the burning of sons and daughters, which is even worse than some of the things that they did to these other gods, which take the focus away from the true God. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 10, another scripture that addresses basically the same thing. Now, I don't believe that this is talking about a true Christmas tree. I believe that this scripture is talking about an idol. You'll get arguments from different people about this. But the point is made, don't do what the pagans are doing. The pagans brought in Christmas trees, brought in evergreen trees because they believed that they had magical powers, that they stayed green all year through some magical power that the pagan god had given these trees. They even worshiped the trees as God. And notice what God says in his word about this, Jeremiah 10, verse 2. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree. They cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Don't be afraid of them. They cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. Folks, we got to stay away from the pagan practices. We got to follow what God says to follow. I could give you more from your Bible on this same concept, but what I want to do in the remaining time I have is address the fact that Jesus kept these holy days that are mentioned in your Bible. Notice in the book of John, John chapter 2 and verse 13. Here's what it says. John 2 and 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Why did he go up to Jerusalem at this time? That's where they celebrated the holy days. That's where they celebrated Passover and the days of unleavened bread. We know Jesus was in the temple when he was 12 years old, when his parents lost him. That was at Passover time also. We know Jesus told his apostles, find a room, get a lamb. We're going to have a Passover meal right before his death. There's no doubt Jesus kept God's annual holy days. You can find other scriptures like John chapter 7, where Jesus went up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus kept these holy days, as did the apostles after Jesus left this earth. Jesus didn't change anything when he was resurrected. We know that because the apostles, years after Christ's death, continued to keep the annual holy days. We know that from Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We know that from Acts chapter 20 and verse 6, where it talks about them staying in a certain location until after the days of unleavened bread. And what do the scholars say about that language? They say the reason it says after is because they wanted to stay together to keep the holy days. Go to 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. Notice what that says about the fact they were keeping a feast And it's obvious from the language in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8 that the feast they were keeping was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And don't forget this. Not only now should we be keeping the feast like the early church did, and parts of Christianity have kept it since the time of Christ, but notice what it says in Zechariah chapter 14. What's going to be happening on this earth in the future, kingdom of God, when Christ comes back and sets this world straight? Here's what it says. Notice the context. 14:1 of Zechariah. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Verse 4. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. No doubt about when this is talking about. Notice what it says in verse 16 now of that chapter. It will come to pass, everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Notice what it says, verse 17. It shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. In the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in. They shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Folks, everyone will be keeping God's annual holy days in this future kingdom. And your Bible tells you that if you're a Christian now, you should be keeping these days today as Christ did, who is your example to follow, as the apostles did, as the early New Testament church did. I hope that this program has had an effect on you. I want you to get that material that I mentioned earlier in this program. What we are offering you today is the material, The Fall Holy Days. That's a piece of literature. And we're also offering you the full sermon CD titled Overview of the Holy Days, which will give you much more detail than this short half-hour program is able to give you in the time we have available. To get both those items, call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by going to our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. I hope you can answer that question that I have already answered. I'm going to keep God's seven annual holy days, God's Sabbath, rather than Christmas, Easter, and the man-made days that have been created. So long for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.